The great thing about the presence of God, God works through you. If he could, he would work without us, and then everyone would just be blessed and touched and saved, and he would say, "Well, you're all crazy. I want to do it on my own, and I'll have revival without you." There would be revival. But he's limited through us because of the authority we have on the earth that he does not. That means he needs us to come along with him. What I love about the way the church is designed here is I'll give you an example. I went to go preach at a church one time. And I knew the pastor for a long time, and the praise and worship leaders I'd known. There were people that I trained early on. And so I showed up to preach, and all of a sudden the presence of God fell down during worship. And everyone started weeping and crying, and I was enjoying it. I thought, wow, they got great worship here. This is awesome. Well, the pastor got up and said, well, we haven't had a move of God like this for a long time. And he started to prophesy and kind of took over the whole service. I didn't even get to preach. And you know, that happens sometimes when a dried up old pastor experiences the flashbacks to the early days. They get excited. And then the service was closed, and my friends, they said, man, for years and years, we've not had anything like that, that presence. And the Lord taught me, he said, he was able to move because I was there. Even if I didn't even get to speak or anything. And I don't think, oh, they didn't give me an offering, so I was all right. But I didn't get to speak or do anything, and God was able to move. Well, I want you to remember that, you know, it's okay that you don't get the credit. The whole goal is for God to be able to move and touch other people. Well, that gives you an idea of how you carry something in you. Right now, as a born-again believer, that's a peace of God. An actual peace, I'd even say an actual DNA peace that came from God, that's in you right now. And that means that wherever you go, he's able to work through you to a certain extent. Now, the more we grow in the love of God, the more he's able to move. That's the authority he wants to work through. How much love have you developed in you? He has to work through that. Now, what that means is that for our friends on Skype, and if I'm saying the name right, Leta is here, and I haven't met you personally, but I talked to you. Nice to meet you. And everyone else, so glad you're here. But you understand that God's able to go have, by the connection on the internet, that's an authority. Whatever's moving here can move in every home. And God doesn't just move to make you cry. That's not the move of God, crying and weeping. If you weep or get excited, that's because something else is happening. And so the whole point of a move of God is not so people cry and say, oh, that was a good cry. You know, no, God wants change. He wants transformation. He wants us to become his children in maturity and not just remain as little children. And so the church world, as I'm learning, is a mess. It's a mess. And God wants to clean it up. And he doesn't want to clean up other churches. He wants to have this church, right, strong, growing in God. The goal of a church is not to be a host for, it's not to be a daycare center. It's not to be a host for children to come and be blessed and loved and rewarded, and then they go home and they remain the same. And if I look at a lot of churches or the modern churches today, I've discovered that they're designed to make the people receive from the preacher, especially the spiritual ones. Come and be anointed, hear a prophecy, get a word. And so many people come to church and they wait until the prayer line so they can receive. But the whole point is the stuff before the prayer line is more important than the prayer line. And the prayer line isn't supposed, we're, the preacher is not supposed to be Jesus to the Christian. Do you understand? You have a, God is your father. The church is not to be Jesus to the Christians. Come, you need a word, I'll give you a word. You need prayer for healing, I'll pray for you. You need a prophecy, let me prophesy over you. That's okay, but that's for the immature. The mature ones should learn how to go to Jesus on their own. See, and that's the goal of the church, is to help the people to grow so they know who they are and they can go to Christ and to Jesus on their own and receive on their own and walk stronger with God every day. But I look at the modern church and I see it's designed for people to come and receive from the pastor. So the people remain immature, the leadership is strong, and the church remains like a daycare. Now the church is to be Jesus to the lost because they don't know Jesus. You are to be Jesus to the lost, and the church should be Jesus to the lost. That's why we want to reach people and share the gospel with people, because they don't know. But we should be on a path of maturity to where we can receive from God on our own, from the Holy Spirit on our own in our prayer closet. And then when we come to church to participate, not to receive. And you're participating by bringing the Christ in you, the maturity of the love in you, and God's able to use that as the authority. That means that someone sitting next to you could be being touched by God, not because the preacher's here, but because you're sitting next to them. We get so shallow in our outreaches. Let's go out. We have to go tell everyone about Jesus. And, you know, in Canada and in America, you know, Brazil, many people already have heard of Jesus 1,000 times. And hey, I just want to tell you about Jesus. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he loves me. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. You know, but what you're carrying is more important than what you're saying. When you're carrying love, that's more important than what you say. You know, because someone can come up and tell you all about Jesus and then steal your car. You know. I always hate when Christians go to restaurants. I know Arlo's worked in the industry, and they always say Sunday Christians are the worst tippers for the waitresses. And my dad, praise God for my dad. He's saved, but he's still old school. And Canadians, I think they tip good here, but in America it's kind of become a little too much. You know, somehow we went from 10% bumped up to 20%. In your giving, tipping, and so I've always learned just to be a good tipper, and my greatest hate is when you find one of those little cards that looks like $100 bill, and you grab it, and there's a gospel track on the end, is a fake $100 bill. I thought, man, you're gonna chase people, waitresses away from Jesus, you know. My dad, he has no. You know, tipping to him is like, here's a quarter, thank you. You know, I'm like, Dad, you got to give more. No, it's, I already paid for the meal. So when we leave, I sneak around behind them and leave somebody on the table. So, you know, you go to the restaurant, you say, Jesus loves you, and the waitress takes care of you, and you leave no tip. You know, like, the words are powerless without the love. But what you understand is you carry a piece of Jesus, a piece of God in you that came from God. And that's what he uses. So even if you walk into a store and you say, you know, I feel like, oh, I need to go get some groceries today. And you decide to go at that moment. You're being led by the Spirit. Because you walk into that store, you don't get to witness to anyone. Nothing dramatic happens. But because you're there, God's able to minister to people. He's able to, because you allow him to be there because you're there. And that's why attendance is so important. That's why participation is so important. The church is supposed to be filled with people who are participating not with their own agenda, but with seeing the kingdom of God go forward. Oh, where are we going to start today? Praise God. So during these services, I want your heart to be open to receive without being called out, without being hands laid on, prophesied over. Just receive. You're here. That means that God's here with you. I'm here. Pastor Doug's here. All of us are here. God's here with us. Don't wait for some preacher to give it to you. He's your Father. You can receive from Him. You say, well, I'm having this question. I'm having this concern. That's okay. Just say, Father, I'm here. I'm here to receive. I want change. I want help. I can't tell you how many people got healed while I was preaching. And they just discovered it while I was preaching. Not because I called them out, or, you know, us preachers, we like to take credit. Oh, praise God. The Lord's, you know, what? Your arm's healed? The Lord's telling me your arm needs to be healed. Yeah, you know. No, you can just receive it. And it's so important for us to realize we are children of God. Now, at the beginning, God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And you know, I used to think it was like He took clay and formed the body. But that word formed, Pastor Dave says, is the same word as builded. He builded. He was talking more about the DNA, the strand of DNA that He developed and put in Adam, made Adam out of that DNA. And that's the natural DNA that the whole world has come from. Every person has come from that DNA, from Adam. Even Eve came out of that DNA. That's why He had to take her rib. Pastor Davey saw a vision of natural DNA, and then how God had spliced into it another DNA, a spiritual DNA, and that was the inner man. And how Adam was created to be connected to both worlds at the same time, where he could see God, talk to God, fellowship with God, and chase Eve around the garden at the same time. You know, because he had an inner man of the spirit and an outward man of this earth. He was connected to both realms. Well, Adam was a seed for the human race. That means that all of us got that same structure. From a child, your creation, you were formed with a DNA of the natural earth and a DNA of the spiritual world, and they're intertwined, they're one, but they're connected to both worlds, right? So every child born, or every child conceived, is formed with a natural body and a spiritual body. That's why when you go into some of the witchcraft stuff, into the Hindu stuff, they have spiritual experiences. Because they have a spiritual body, just like you do. They were born with it, and you were born with one. So you've always been connected. In our modern world, we have no idea about the spiritual realm. We're all thinking out of our carnal man. Now, if you come with me to 1 Peter... Chapter 2. And I want you to see this today, that you've been born of both realms, the natural and the spiritual. And they were so connected, the inner body and the outward body, that you call them one. I call them conjoined twins. That they're two separate bodies, but they're conjoined together so much that you call them one. So you have a spiritual body and a natural body. Then the day you got born again, the moment you accepted Christ, God gave you the faith to be saved. That faith didn't even come from you. You cannot, in your Adamic condition, have faith to be saved. So God had to give you faith, the faith to be saved. Let's look here in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So when you ask Jesus in your heart, you are born again. Look over in Ephesians. I'll give you some verses today. I want to try my best to paint the picture of salvation, of who you are as children of God. Because once you see that, you'll quit accepting carnal Christianity. You'll be bored with carnal Christianity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. See, so when someone got saved, it wasn't by their faith, because you could not have enough faith to be born again. There's no faith that exists in this world. So the only way to be saved is not by believing, you know, it's not by faith, because you don't have it. The only way for someone to be saved was to humble themselves. Say, God, I don't even have faith to be saved. I'll never get to heaven. I'll never be worth it. I'm never going to earn it. I need help. I give up. I'm yours. And from that humility, God was able to, by his grace, give you the faith so you could be born again. Now, we know from, you know, years of Pastor Dave teaching about the born-again trail, that the moment you got saved, you received that new nature. That new nature is a seed. It's a generator of righteousness. That nature is what makes you righteous. You'll never be more righteous than you are right now. Some of you just said, yeah, oh, he doesn't know what I watched last night on TV, or he doesn't know what I thought on the way to church. Amen. Yeah, he doesn't know me. No, your holiness does not affect your righteousness. Righteousness is yours because of the nature of God in you. When you stand before God, he's only going to ask one question. Is my nature in you? Heaven is a family exclusive club. And all family members only. Do you have my nature in you? And he'll look, and if that nature is in you, you are righteous enough for heaven. Doesn't matter your struggles. Now, you can give up that righteousness. You play with sin long enough, you'll give up that righteousness. But struggling with sin does not make you unrighteous. It may make you unholy, but doesn't make you unrighteous. You are righteous because you are born of God. That's the new nature. The new nature is like a seed, a tiny little seed. It's the smallest part of you. It's a tiny little seed. If I took an apple seed and I spliced it in half and I zoomed in and could see inside of it, there inside of that seed is a mature picture, an image of a full-grown apple tree. And when I take that seed and plant it in the ground, it takes all the minerals and nutrients and it begins to form the apple tree. Isn't it amazing? You plant a seed in the dirt and somehow it takes all the dirt and forms a tree out of it. And then, man, if you have maple, we're in Canada, maple, good old maple syrup. How does a tree get sweet maple out of dirt? You can taste the dirt and there's no sweetness in the dirt, but somehow that tree takes it and reforms it into maple syrup. So the seed, as it grows, it forms the apple tree. And when it's fully mature, you look at it, you say, wow, that's a great big tree. And it starts to produce fruit, right? Apples. The seed does not make apples. The seed makes the tree, which makes the apples. Well, that tree was always in the seed. The image of that tree was always in the seed. You just couldn't see it, but it was there. And when you gave it the nutrients that it needed, it began to form a tree, an apple tree, just like what it came from, an exact copy of what it came from. Well, when you were born again, you received a, you had a seed from Adam, a nature of sin. But when you humbled yourself and asked Jesus into your heart, God took that old nature of sin and quickened it and turned it into a nature of righteousness. See, that's the seed, that's the nature. And if you were to slice it in half and look at it with special glasses and look inside of it, you would find that there's an image in there. And the image in that seed is a fully mature Christ. Jesus in all of his maturity, all of his holiness, and all of his love is in that seed. It's already in you, but it has to grow. If I took his apple seed and said, look at this, I went to Washington State and I found a friend who has Fuji apples. And I stole a Fuji apple off of his tree. It's delicious. And I kept the seed. And this, I'm going to plant this and I want to make some great apple pie, apple sauce, apple juice. We're going to have apple cobbler. We're going to eat apples. I'm going to give you because they'll make so much. This seed is from an incredible tree, a Fuji apple tree. I'm going to plant it. I'm going to share it all with you. And you get excited. And so you come back and I put it into, it's in a glass in my, on my living room. And you come back next year and you come into my house and hey, let me tell you about this seed. Let me show it to you. And I show you this glass and inside of it is a seed. It's from, and I give you the same speech. You're like, oh, good. And then next year you come back and I give you the same speech. And the next year you come back, I give you the same speech. And finally you're going to say, hello. Do you know that you have to plant the seed to get the fruit? It has to grow. It has to be formed or you'll never get fruit out of it. Well, this is the condition of the modern church. We know how to talk about the promises of the seed. I'm a child of God. I'm righteous. Praise God. I'm above and not below. I'm the head and not the tail. And I'm blessed and not a loser. I'm beyond. I'm righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. And God is my Father. I'm his child. And so I have an heir to the kingdom of God. We have all these speeches. And then every year, they come back and we're still giving speeches about a seed that we haven't allowed to grow. And that's the danger of the modern church. Now, I'm not against the modern church because as long as they're preaching Jesus, they got a place in the kingdom of God and God's pleased with them. But someone's got to grow up. Someone's got to take the path to grow up. Somebody has to. And the only reason you're here is because he found something in you to draw you on this path so you can grow up and mature. The seed of the new nature is only a seed. A lot of people preach about the new nature as if it's complete. I'm complete in Christ. I'm already done. And their motto is, Alan, you talk too much about praying in tongues. You know, the world's going to hell. We need to go save the world. You're already complete in Christ. You just need to think differently. That's the problem. You just need to yield over to who you really are. You need to surrender to who you really are. Accept who you really are. Identify. I identify with my spiritual man today. It's like role playing. And tomorrow I'll identify with my outward man and be all fleshy and eat everything I want and watch 8 hours of Netflix. But today I identify with my spiritual man. You know, and it's role playing. You can't identify away the flesh. You'll just go, okay, I'm gone. I'm not here. La, 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 la. You don't see me. I'm not here, but it's still there. You have to mortify the flesh, the deeds of the body. So many in the modern church are talk about who they are, but they haven't become who they are. See, the seed is complete. You don't add to a seed, you just plant it. And what it does, it takes the nutrients around it and it begins to form and develop and grow the image in it is formed. And when it is mature, that's when you receive the fruit. Fruit just comes. Jesse works with trees. Fruit just shows up. And sometimes you get a tree that, we got a tree in our backyard. It's crab apples, and they're not good either. I don't know why someone planted it there, but it's alive and it's big, so we just leave it. But it leaves all these little crab apples that rot on the ground every year. And I've cursed it. You dumb tree. I don't want any of your fruit. Stop. But it just keeps doing it because you don't have to add anything. When a mature tree is mature, the fruit just comes. But if you like the fruit, what do? You prune it so you get the good branches making stronger fruit and get rid of the little branches so it doesn't take all the energy. So the pruning that God does for you, let me just preach to you tongue talking group. You're walking with God and all of a sudden he starts to prune you. Ouch. Ouch. And he starts to ask you to cut things off and change things and to live differently. And you look over at your Christian neighbor, they're not being pruned. They're happy as can be. They're driving nice cars. You're believing God for your tire, they're going on vacations and planning their life. And you're in your prayer closet. God, can I do that? No. And your life's different. And you're like, ow, I go to God and he's cutting away at things and pruning things. They're happy over there. What's wrong with me? And there's nothing like them coming over to give you advice. Well, here's what I do. I had one man come to me and pick on me because of the physical battle I've been through, And he's like, well, this is what I do, and you just got to believe Alan. And I'm mostly sweet. Sometimes I bite back a little bit, but I thought, the path we're on with the walk of the Spirit, and we could all blame Pastor Dave, is a path like we are going to Mars. It's like we're on an impossible mission that no one has done yet. And God's assigned us to go to Mars. Now, if you plan to go to Mars and you calculate wrong by 1 degree, you're going to miss Mars. Well, I missed Mars a little bit, and I went through a battle. But there's nothing like someone coming up to me and said, hey, buddy, I go to the grocery store every week, and I drive from my house to the grocery store and back, and I have never had an accident. Let me give you some advice how not to have accidents, how not to miss it. It's like, dude, you're going to the grocery store. God's put me on the mission to Mars. I don't need to take your advice. They have people in Mount Everest. If you climb it, there's frozen people there who've been there for 20 years who died on the way up and they couldn't get their bodies down. So they just leave them there. And they have names for each of them. And they pass by each other on the way up. And their body's frozen in the condition that they died in. They're wearing their clothes and they're preserved. Can you imagine some guy, larger guy, couch potato guy, calling into the family of the mountaineer who died climbing Mount Everest? I've got a heel out back. It's about 30 feet. I climb it every day. Let me give you some advice how not to, so you won't have someone else die mountain climbing. Well, that's what happens when the carnal church tries to get into the spiritual church world and give advice. You can't compare them because our destination is two different places. The carnal church world is after heaven. How can we get to heaven? And that's the goal. Let's get people saved so they go to heaven. And that's a good goal. Praise God. But when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit takes over your life and begins to build in you and direct you in a path that says, rather than just going to heaven, you're going there anyway. How about we change this world while we're here? But I can't change it with you. I need to build Christ in you. first. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 4. And today I feel like I just want to paint a picture. Help explain some of the path you're on so you don't think you're crazy. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul says, "My little children, in whom I labor in birth again." So he's praying for them, interceding for them. "And again, until what? Christ is formed in you." See, when you're saved, Christ is not formed in you. You have the seed of Christ in your inner man. Your inner man came to life. Now remember, when man was created, he was created with an inner man and an outward man. And so when you accepted Jesus, he took out the nature of sin and replaced it with the nature of righteousness. And that nature brought to life your inner man. Your inner now man is now from God. It has a spiritual mind, a spiritual emotions, and it has, that's where the nature lives, and that's where you live. But your outward man was left dead, left in darkness. So now your spiritual being is righteous and holy and perfect, but it's immature. It's like a seed with a body. It's like a baby, a newborn baby. If I have a newborn baby, you know, Harrison, when he was 3 years old, was wanting to drive. And one time we went to visit my mom in Alberta. And he's like, I'm driving him somewhere. He's like, "Dad, let me drive. Let me drive just in the neighborhood. Let me drive." I'm like, "You can't drive." "Oh, yeah, I can. I'll drive. I'll sit in your lap and I'll steer and work the pedals a little bit, but you can help me." "No, son, we'll get arrested." "No, Grandma's been letting me do it all week." You know, I'm like, "Grandma," you know. There was a father whose daughter and friend was at his house. And he was, I don't know if he was drunk or he was just exhausted. But the daughter said, who was 14 at the time, "Dad, my friend needs a ride home." And the dad said, "Oh, I'm just so exhausted," or maybe he was drunk. "Here's the keys. You can drive. Take her yourself." A 14. So they did. They got in the car and drove. Well, she had an accident and both of them died. Well, the judge sentenced the dad to murder. Said, you were the responsible one. And you gave someone who was immature, who was not mature enough to handle the situation, you gave them the authority to go and drive, and they died, and you're accountable. I feel that there are a lot of pastors going to hear that speech from God, because they've taken these young, immature Christians who haven't grown and developed in the things of God, trained them how to do things, and then gave them authority to go out and represent Jesus. Go out and pray for people. Go out and minister to people. Go out and lay hands on people. And they go out and they fall on their face. Because I have everything. I'm supposed to pray for the sick. And they see some results, but then they always run into no results. And then they get discouraged. Then they give up. And the pastor's to blame. Should never have told them to go do something that God didn't tell them to do. Now, we can share the gospel. We can share the love of God. We can talk about Jesus. The moment we're saved, we're supposed to do that. But the moment you lay hands on someone who hasn't asked you, you approach them. "Hey, I get it all the time when I walk through places. Like, hey, I can see you need the healing. I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you?" You know, and their friends videotape it in the background. You know, I get that all the time. And when you say, "I'm going to pray for you," and you go to someone and say, "Let me pray for you. Jesus is a healer." And up to that moment, they've thought, "God hates me. That's why I'm sick. I didn't tithe like I should have. God's punishing me. I had a bad thought, so that's why God... God broke me. And then you come up representing Jesus. You didn't just talk about Jesus and say, hey, I just want you to know that God loves you. He does not put sickness on anyone. And you can believe God and trust God that he wants to see you healed. That's good. But the moment you step into the position of Jesus and say, let me pray for you, you pray for them and say, amen. Now move and do what you can, and nothing changes. You say, well, praise God, brother. Keep believing. You go on home and have lunch. That person, you just reinforce every evil thing that person thought. Yeah, see, that man represented Jesus, and I'm still in my condition. God hates me, obviously. See, when we represent Jesus, the Bible didn't say go pray. He said go pray and see them healed. Go heal them. Well, what if we can't see them healed? Then there's some place, something needs to change, and it's not God. It's you. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson, who gave us a pathway to grow in our spirit man. Here we see the word, Christ is formed in you. See, you have this new nature. It's like a seed. You also have an inner man. An inner man is an inner body, a spiritual mind. It's what Galatians calls the fruit of the Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. What love is that? Agape love. Love, God's love. God's love does not exist on this earth. It's not found on this earth. You cannot find it anywhere on this earth. You can't find it anywhere. It's God's love. It's a love that is divine. It's a love that is unending. God is unchanging. He's righteous. He's so righteous and so much light. He's brighter than the sun. If I brought the sun into this room here, would there be any darkness? No. All darkness is destroyed. And can you imagine, here's God, unable to change himself. Completely light and righteous, and no darkness can even penetrate him. And if he steps into any darkness, it's just boom, gone. And then here's Adam, becomes darkness. Now he wants to rescue Adam, rescue mankind. But if he steps into the lives of mankind, poof, they're gone. The work, the amount of structure it took to get us saved was more than how much it took to build the whole universe. Just for God, as Pastor Dave would say, just for God to walk up to you and say, hi. That's a miracle of miracles. So I need to cover you in a lot of lamb's blood just so I don't destroy you. That's why he had the Holy of Holies, a little room in the temple. And once a year, the high priest would go into the very personal presence of God. Now, he's omnipresent, but his personal presence was only in the Holy of Holies. The high priest had to be perfect in everything he did as far as the rituals, or else he would die, because he's about to step into pure righteousness. The moment Jesus died on the cross, the sky turned black, the earth quaked, and the veil in the temple was ripped in half. Remember that? Well, that was God's personal presence, who's been there for all those thousands of years in the Holy of Holies. The average person would never experience God, only the high priest once a year. All of a sudden, he was able to stand up in that temple, rip the veil in half, and step out into the earth and say, because of Jesus being the Lamb of God, I now could fellowship with each of you, because now he was in us. A piece of him, that's the new nature, is actually a piece of God himself in you. You are birthed of God. You're a child of God. But God wants that seed to grow. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. That will go there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But if the fruit of the Spirit is love, this is the love that Jesus had. It's not found in this earth. You can't find it in this earth. It originates in God. Now you have it in seed form. But here it calls it the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to underline the Spirit there, that's your new nature. The fruit of you taking the seed of the new nature and allowing it to grow and develop will be the fruit of God's love. We don't get God's love by saying, God, give me your love. Man, we'd have a big church full of people. One lady brings her husband in and he's sour, lazy, angry, brings in the church. He comes up to the altar, receive God's love. She walks away and he somehow, all of a sudden he looks like James Bond. He lost weight, his hair grew back. And he's loving and kind and oh, let me hold your hand. Let me get the door for you, honey. Man, we would have a church full of women dragging their husbands. We'd have a real Mother's Day celebration. But we can see that that love doesn't hit you by asking for it. It doesn't come from heaven down to you. It has to be grown and developed like a fruit tree. It has to be developed in you, and it grows in you. And where does it grow? It grows in your inner man, because your inner man was made righteous and holy, as righteous and holy as Jesus. It now has the ability to hold and contain that emotion of love, because love is an emotion. So the first fruit of the Spirit is love. But not the love of you. I'm going to love. You need to love your wife more. You need to love your neighbor more. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you need to develop the love of Jesus in you. And if you do, it will overtake your life. And you will be like Jesus. Love your neighbor with the love of Christ. Not the love that you generate from your natural man. Joy. This is not a joy found on this earth. It's not a joy that you can find anywhere on this earth. It's a joy that is developed in your inner man from the new nature. It grows forward into your inner man, and that joy will overtake you in the inner man. What happens is the joy of the Spirit man grows up, and it's not affected by circumstances. It's not affected by economy. It's not affected by problems. It's a joy that's unaffected by world events. It's powerful. It's earth-shaking joy. And you let that develop and grow in your spiritual man. All of a sudden, that joy of the Spirit knocks on the joy of the flesh of the outward man and says, you're a bad counterfeit. You're joyful on good sunny days, butterflies and little lambs and deer running around. You have a happy day, but on stormy days, you disappear. You're a sad counterfeit. And then because you let that joy develop and be formed in you, you get to live from that place. You haven't fixed the outward man. You've mortified the copycat of the outward man. Well, Pastor Allen, that's great preaching. How do I do that? Because, see, the fact that it says it's the fruit of the Spirit, fruit only comes from a mature tree. I used to spend my time, I'd say to the crowd, let's lift their hands and look up to heaven and worship God. I no longer say that. I was flying somewhere and I was on the plane. And I look down and at my belly area, my belly button area, it in a kind of an open vision, my midsection turned into a tree trunk. And the Lord just said to me, I want to see yourself like this from now on. And with that instruction came a lot of revelation that I need to see myself, my relationship with God, as developing as a tree of God instead of bringing the glory down from heaven upon me. I need to let Christ be formed in me. And it changed my preaching. It changed my path. It changed my teaching to be able to describe this walk of the Spirit. There is a relationship with the Spirit through your carnal man. And you'll see that in many, many organizations. They pursue the glory cloud, the open heavens. They're looking for angels flying around, and they're looking for the anointing. And all of that's good, but you can experience that through your carnal man. But there's a better way, a more excellent way. And that is to know God and to become like God. Not in his divinity, but to become like Jesus. Because Christ is formed in you. So many Christians, they got the seed of the new nature. They're born again, and they tell everyone about it every year. Yeah, God's loving. God's a healer. God's a blessing. God wants you happy. God, and they preach about the blessings and everything, but they don't see any changing. And you look over at them, and they're happy. And here you are. You start praying and seeking God, and all of a sudden, he starts pruning you. You're like, how's your relationship with God? They say, oh, God, great. Glory to God. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I went to one church, and they had been trained. You know, I said, hey, how are you doing? I'm blessed in highly favored of the Lord. Thank you very much. Amen. The next person, hey, how are you doing? I'm blessed in highly favored of the Lord. Thank you very much. I just quit asking because they all had the same answer. And they come to you, how's your relationship with God? Oh, man, every time I get with him, he's got these big knife and scissors, and he's cutting off limbs and asking me to die more and grow more. And whew, wow, you just need to relax and enjoy God. But see, his mission for you, if you'll let him, will take you down this path of growing. So I have this new nature. It needs nutrients to grow. So the best way I can describe it is, now that I have the new nature, it will remain like a seed in me and let me get to heaven, but it won't affect me or change me until I let it grow and form. Every minute you spend praying in tongues, every minute you spend in private worship or in the Word, that is the fertilizer, the nutrients that seed uses to begin to form Christ in you. Not just his love, his emotions of joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, but also the knowledge of God is formed in that spiritual mind. You become really smart. You know things and you don't know why you know them. Arlo was telling us how he was in a church and he was praying, and all of a sudden he knew things were being taught were wrong. And he didn't know why. Pastor Dave would say it this way, that I go to church and I preach and I get people praying in tongues, and I come back a year later and the person comes up to me and says, Pastor Dave, something wrong with my pastor. They're teaching differently. And he said, no, they're not teaching differently. They're teaching the same thing they've always taught. You've changed. You've learned more. You've learned from the Holy Spirit. And that knowledge is in you to bring you forward, to bring you forward. Harrison, we're proud of Harry. Harrison, he's done his first year of university, killed it, did awesome. And, you know, he doesn't go to university just to go to university. He's going to learn something so he can do something with it, right? That's the whole point of education. Well, the whole point of spiritual education is so God could do something with it in your life. Not just so you can get on Facebook and blast everyone. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You know, I love watching. No, I don't love watching. I go down these YouTube trails sometimes where I'll get, there's some preacher has an opinion. I thought, well, let's hear what he says. And then I hear the other guy saying, I get down this rabbit trail, and it's so funny. There's so many groups out there now, and everyone's better than the rest. And they're all saying, you know, this guy's going to hell. He's not even saved. This guy, they're calling, they're sending each other to hell, and I want to get on there. You're all idiots. Let me tell you the truth. Yeah. You have in you a piece of God Himself when you were born again. That's your new nature. The miracle of salvation is this. You started out as a creature from the world of darkness, from the Adamic race. That's where you were. He found you. You accepted Him, and He birthed a new creature inside of the old creature. That's your inner man. You became a new creature. Alan died the day I asked Jesus in my heart. Died. He no longer exists. Now, we're still wearing his body, but that's going to be replaced too. Alan died. I hear too many Christians say, Lord, I give you my day, lead my steps, I surrender, tell me what to do. You know, that's their version of walking with God. I give you my life. No, no, no. Your life died. You have no life to give Him. Your life died. The only life you have on this earth is His life. In other words, I'm not praying in tongues so I can get my ministry. I'm not spending time with God so He'll give me my money, my blessing. I'm not doing this so God will use me. I'm doing this because this is His life. God, if all you have me do is spend my whole life in the prayer closet and sweeping the floor and no one knows me, I'm happy to do that because this is your life that I get to live. My life disappeared. All my rights died the moment I was saved. There's no surrendering to it. You're running away from it when you start to play with carnal Christianity. I get to be blessed. I get to give so I can get more. I get to do so He'll receive me. It's His life. He should have the right to do whatever He wants with you. For you, I want you to go win Africa. For you, I want you to stay with one person and spend your whole life loving them. They're really mean. They're probably going to go to hell, but I'm going to give you to them to let them be mean to you your whole life, and you're going to love them in my name, and they'll get saved at the last minute, and that's all you're going to accomplish. Okay? That's your life, Father. When you get to heaven, you'll stand beside the world-changing African continent revivalist and so how many people do you get saved? One. Well, shouldn't you be in the back of the line? Well, no, because God told me to do it. I lived His life. That's where the reward is. So many Christians, they got this nature of righteousness. They're going to heaven. But they don't give it the nutrients for it to form Christ in them. So then they end up living their life in their carnal ability, serving God. God doesn't prune them because He doesn't mess with that. God will always pull them towards the Spirit if they allow Him to. But you're seeking God, you're spending time with God, you're growing in God, and you walk into His presence and He's got those big shears. Like, man, all right, prune away, God. Yeah, I thought this was good enough, you know. You know, like in our house, we have like the snack closet, right? And you can always see when the kids walk by the living room from the snack closet. They got the hand behind the back just a little bit. They're walking a little faster, trying to get to the room without you spying what they got out of the, you know, out of the snacks. And a lot of Christians are like that. They're coming to God and they're hiding their things. Yeah, you won't need to prune this. This is okay. This is good. What you got there? Oh, nothing. Oh, is that a boyfriend? Hey, hold on. Let me get my shears. No, 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 no. Not that dream. Not that vision. No, no, no. It's okay. It's okay. It's, it won't hurt me. Yeah. And when Harrison was little, he was super fast. In fact, his nickname was Harrison Harrison because he would never stop at Harrison. So it's Harrison, Harrison. You know, I'd call home on a trip. And I'd say, Christy, what you doing? Oh, we're just making dinner. And Harrison, leave the dog alone. Harrison. You know, Harrison, stop, Harrison. And he was really fast, and you'd reach out and grab him. And my favorite time was when he learned how to be just out of arm's reach. Like they've learned how long your arms are. And so they walk by you, and they're just far enough. So you go to reach him, like, what, where are you? And he learned that, you know, like 5 years old. And I remember being at a restaurant. It was a Mexican restaurant in Tulsa, and they had like a middle section surrounded by a wall that was about 4 feet tall. So you can see everyone in the middle, and then there was a wall, and then the rest of the restaurant was around it. And we were at the restaurant getting ready to leave, and Harrison took off running. And Christy went to grab him, and just out of arm's reach, so she went chasing after him. It was the funniest thing, because you couldn't see Harrison, because he was shorter than the wall. All you see is Christy running around the restaurant trying to catch him. You know, well, a lot of Christians, they've learned how to stay out of the reach of God's pruning. I'm close enough. I'll serve you. I'll do good things for you. But when it comes to a walk of the Spirit, there's a surrendering of your life completely. Say, so God, where do you want me? What you want me to do? That's why we don't advertise. We find the people that God sends to us, because we don't advertise to try to build. We only want the people that God sends to us, because then God thinks they're ready for us and we're ready for them. And so a lot of people say just out of reach from God, and they do good works, but they don't want to be pruned. If your relationship with God has a lot of ouches in it, that means that you're growing. It means that he sees a future for you of great success in his kingdom. He doesn't want you to touch the world for him. He wants to touch the world through you. And there's a cost to that, laying down your life. There's a cost to that. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, this is what's really, the understanding the inner man and outer man has really made me see how important praying in tongues is, where praying in tongues is not the only way, but it's the number one way that God could pass knowledge from his mind to your spiritual mind. Your spiritual mind was birthed of him. In Ephesians, I was going to read it, but in Ephesians it says, your new man was created in true righteousness and holiness. The new man is your inner body. Okay? When you pray in tongues, that is the Holy Spirit able to download his knowledge that came from the mind of God into your mind, your spiritual mind. Your natural mind is of Adam. It's a different species. It's a lesser species. It can't ever comprehend the real truth of God. It can try, and it can get some things right, but it'll get a lot of things wrong. But your inner man only feeds on truth that came from God. And that's why on this walk of the Spirit, you'll hear a preacher preach a lot of good things, but something in you will just be like, that's okay. Everyone else is excited and yelling, amen, and you're thinking, that's okay. Well, that's because your inner man doesn't receive things that came from this earth, no matter how good it sounds. But the moment it hears truth that originated from God, it feeds it. Oh, give me that. That's truth. And it holds on to it forever. For the rest of eternity, you will hold on to that truth. It doesn't get truth out of encyclopedias, out of man's wisdom, commentaries. It only gets this truth from God. Even the Word of God. You know, every church in town today, around the world, around Canada, is using the same basic Bible. But someone's getting it wrong. So it's not, you know, I only preach, I only read the Word of God. I only preach out of the Word of God. But yet they're getting it wrong. So it's not even the Bible itself. It's the interpretation of the Bible. Well, the helper you have is the Holy Spirit. And He'll help you to know truth. And once I really seen it, I fired up my prayer time more than ever. Because, man, I'm actually building truth in my spiritual man. And God's able to use that. He wants Alan to be mortified, not exalted. So I'm blessed that you're with us and on this path. It's a challenging path, but it's not challenging. But that's why you need the Holy Ghost, because He'll build you up and then have you pick a fight with your flesh. And because He built you up, you have the strength to overcome it. A lot of Christians are trying to overcome the flesh with the flesh. And you can't overcome the flesh with the flesh. I'm gonna outstrengthen my flesh. And then you can't kill the flesh or overcome the flesh with the flesh. It has to be mortified by the Spirit. Keep praying in tongues. Keep growing in God. He has something wonderful for you. You're being placed as part of the body. I'm going to close in prayer. And we have service tonight. And then tomorrow night, really excited, we're going to have Brazil with us. I'm going to do mix a couple churches together. And the Monday night, every Monday night, I have a church in Brazil that's mine that I preach at. And I'll let Michelle figure out how to make it work. But we'll combine the two. And you'll see them and they'll see you. And we'll let God move. Amen. But you really are becoming part of a bigger group that's on the same path. It may be small, but it's real and it's authentic. Father, we thank You for Your presence. I thank You right now that You begin to minister to each person. You are our healer, our deliverer. You're our provider. You're a helper. So right now, I thank You for Your presence to come and touch each of us personally. We receive from You. Some of you have questions, and He's going to answer them for you. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. In these moments is when some things are pruned that maybe you're struggling with temptation and things. In these moments is when some of that can be pruned as well, that you'll discover a difference. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for releasing Your presence. We receive it. We receive Your love. In Jesus' name, we want to be mature children of God. We want to walk in all that You have for us. We don't want to come short. So we receive it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank you, Father. What a sweet presence. Thank you for your peace. So remember, God has a plan for you. He'll walk with you step by step. It's okay to not be like every other church or every other believer. It's okay to find your walk with God and to pursue spiritual growth. You're not losing anything. You're developing Christ in you. And God could do more through mature believers. A few mature believers. The one vision I had was a church full of 500 little kids running around. And they were all having fun and fighting and playing and screaming. And all of a sudden a computer formed in the middle of them. And over the intercom it said, "Send me an email." So they all rushed the computer and this is an old vision, so it might be different nowadays. You know, kids know more than old guys do, but at the time, all 500 kids rushed at the computer, and they knew the computer is how you sent an email, but they didn't know how. So they were hitting the buttons, pushing the buttons, pulling it apart. They couldn't do it with all their effort. And then a mature adult walked in the room, split between them, bent over, turned the computer on, and hit one button. And the email was sent. And the Lord said, I can do more through one mature believer than I can through 500 immature believers. If you want God to use you, grow up in Him and watch out. Watch out. Amen.